Please turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you that you never let go. Lord, as we look in your precious word this morning, I pray that you'll speak through me. I'm nothing without you. And Lord, as we even look in your word about how you never let go, how you seal us with the Holy Spirit, Lord, may you receive all glory. Lord, may it encourage the church this morning, and may it cause the one who does not have a relationship with you to want to have one. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. We are continuing a series on Sunday morning. We started last Sunday about the Holy Spirit of God, and we looked at what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit of God in the Gospel of John chapter 16, and how he guides us into all spiritual truth. And Cooper Baptist Church, you should know who the Holy Spirit of God glorifies at all times. You better know it. The Holy Spirit of God glorifies Jesus Christ only. Not you, not me, not a saint, not Mary. The Spirit of God glorifies and edifies Jesus Christ only. Amen? That's according to the words in red in the Gospel of John. Okay? So, the Holy Spirit of God edifies the church and glorifies Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit of God is not a lesser God. There's not three gods. It's a big God and a middle God and a lesser God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He is a triune God. The Holy Spirit of God is God. He is the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the image of the Godhead. When we see God, we will see the flesh of Jesus Christ. So, He is not a lesser God. He is God. He is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is not a lesser God, and the Holy Spirit of God is not your conscience. You do not want your conscience to be your guide. I'll give you for instance. Your conscience can justify sin. Your conscience can talk you into things. Your conscience can say, that's okay. Everybody else is doing it. Or your conscience can be influenced actually by your environment. Okay? You want your conscience to be guided, inspired, and be immersed by the Holy Spirit of God. Because the Holy Spirit of God will always lead you to Jesus and to what God's Word says about something, not your conscience. You see? So, there is, I believe, in the church in America today, ignorance about and who the Holy Spirit of God is, who He is to us. So with that, we're looking this morning about how the Holy Spirit seals us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. In Him you also trusted. You see, we trust in Jesus Christ, and we're fixing to find out how the Holy Spirit of God comes in and indwells us as His temple. You see, that Old Testament temple we studied about in Sunday school is a great picture of who we are. We are the temple of God. Amen? The Spirit of God indwells us. Jesus Christ is the firm foundation that this temple's being built upon. And you and I are monuments to the praise of His glory. So, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, if you believe in Jesus Christ this morning, the word of God, you heard it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Holy Spirit guides us into this truth. He illuminates the scriptures to us. He speaks to our hearts through the word of God. The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. If you're saved this morning, the only way you are saved is to believe and live the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus, God, came in the flesh, Emmanuel, God tabernacled in the flesh. He came, He lived among us without sin, He was tempted. He died on a cross for our sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day. He ascended up and He's coming back. That's the gospel message. It's the only gospel message. Don't add nothing to it. Don't take away from it. But if you're saved this morning, you are saved because you have placed your hope, your trust, your life in the gospel message. That's the only way you're saved. You heard it. The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed. You see, that's our part. Our response to God's grace, our response to His mercy, our response of the Holy Spirit convicting our hearts and wooing us unto God, wooing us into faith. We believe. Now we can get way off. He already knows this and already knows that and this and that. But I promise you this, if you're saved, it's because you believe. You believed it. And it has changed your life. Now this is not an easy beliefism. The devils believe there's a God and what? They tremble. The devils cannot stand the name of Jesus. That's why in America, you can talk about God all you want to. But when you start saying Jesus, that's when America now gets upset. That's when all the liberal side starts pounding you and that's when the world starts hating you when you start saying in Jesus' name. And Jesus is the only way. See, they don't like that. The devils tremble at that, you see. And it is in this name that the Holy Spirit of God woos our hearts and leads us to Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. It says, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, He is called the Holy Spirit of promise. This speaks that He is full of promise, and then these promises are never broken. You know, when we sing Standing on the Promises of God, don't you know and feel in your heart and life that when, as we worship and sing a song like that, that's the Holy Spirit of God saying, yes, you can believe these promises. These promises cannot be broken. The promises of God cannot be broken. And He is called the Holy Spirit of promise because He assures our hearts and gives us security in our hearts. And also He's the Holy Spirit of promise because He is that promise that was promised to Abraham and to his seed. We are people of faith. We're sons of Abraham. The Jew, the true Jew, it says in the New Testament, is one who has believed and we're circumcised in the heart. So, that promise is God's presence. It's God's presence in our hearts and lives. We are the temple of God, and He is that promise that God has promised all through the Old Testament. It's the promise that Jesus said the Helper's coming, the Comforter is coming, and He is that promise. We can believe God, because God cannot lie. He authenticates our salvation. The Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the Holy Spirit, He is called the Holy Spirit of promise, and also He is like an unbreakable seal. You see, He is proof of our value to God. You are valuable. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're so valuable to God. And it's proof of our acceptance in the Beloved. God has accepted us. We're in Christ's righteousness. We are immersed in Christ. And we're sealed. So we are accepted by Holy God. We are called His children. We are called His Beloved. Because of the Holy Spirit. It's proof that we are owned by the Lord. You have not been bought with silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus. And when you have believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Emotions can be a big part of it, but it is not all about the Holy Spirit. Because if you live on emotions only, and you call that the Holy Spirit of God, the next day when you're down, you done think you've lost your salvation. No, you were sealed. And it's proof that we're owned by the Lord. It's a pledge of safety. And it's a pledge of freshness, like things in a jar that are sealed. It's like an envelope that is sealed. In the old days, they would seal things with wax, a king would, and say, I take ownership of this. Now, I'm going to break out my pickles again. Okay? Y'all remember the pickles? We were learning about what baptism is really all about. It's being immersed in Jesus. And these are not cucumbers. They're baptized pickles, aren't they? An old lady in our church showed my daughter how to do this. I'd already told you that once. But these pickles are good. Now, these pickles are in this jar, and they are sealed. Matter of fact, they're so sealed that this lid, I was actually in the house when this jar was sealed. It popped, and it sealed down. So these pickles are sealed in this jar, and we likened it one time as being immersed in Jesus, okay? Our life is in Christ. And not only that, we are sealed. Our life is in Christ. And we are sealed by His Spirit. You see? Remember last Sunday? Jesus had to go because God in the flesh cannot indwell all of our hearts at one time. But He can through the Spirit. So, we are sealed in this jar. And there's these pickles. When you open this jar, by the way, the last jar of pickles that I brought disappeared. I believe we had a fellowship after that, and Brother Dan opened them. They were eaten. Okay? One of these days, this Holy Spirit of promise, you see, it's a taste of things to come. We will dwell in the presence of God for all eternity and walk with God and be with our loved ones for all eternity. And God will wipe away our tears and we will be His children and He'll be our God. And the Holy Spirit is a taste of that. You know what else? Sealed by God Himself by the Spirit of God. And it's a promise of my salvation. It's the already but not yet. I'm saved, but I will be saved. The already but not yet tension we have with the gospel. Already but not yet. You see, and it shows that it's something better coming, and yet there's a freshness about it. And you know something else? You know what I have now up here? A bunch of shooken up pickles. Or shake. What's the best way to say that, Miss Dana? Shooken, shaken? Shaken. Bunch of shaken up pickles. I mean, they're shook up. That jar is still sealed. Still sealed. They got shook up pretty bad. And we experience things in life that's out of our... Life's hard, you know it. We go through tragedies and experience things, and yet we have the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, with us. And we're sealed. Sometimes God will shake us up. If you can live in sin all your life and not be convicted, you're not sealed by the Holy Spirit. You hear me? You need to get saved. But if you belong to God, God the Father chastens those whom He loves. And sometimes God will do that. Not only that, sometimes we do this, don't we? Sometimes we don't allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. And we take our lives in our own hands and we're guided by our own conscience, not by Scripture and not by the Holy Spirit of God, but what we think is best or what others think is best. We do this to our lives too, don't we? I want you to notice something. If you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, all that stuff in there settles back down. It settles back down. And those are baptized, sealed pickles. You're baptized and sealed, born-again believers. Sealed by the Holy Spirit of God because you have trusted what Jesus did on the cross for you. Those pickles have been changed. They're no longer cucumbers, but they're pickles. And the easy beliefism today is all that you got to do is believe. Believe there's a God. Do what you think is right. Do the best you can. And you're still a cucumber. You need to be in Christ. Trust in Christ. Trust in His gospel. And you'll be sealed by the Holy Spirit of God at the moment you have placed your faith. And listen to me, He always exalts Jesus in your life and always exalts Jesus in your worship. Always. And if your life is exalting something else, just because it may be religious or supernatural or have God stamped to it, unless it is about Jesus, it's not the Spirit of God. Now, you can take that up with God. God says that in His Word, okay? That upsets you. You get upset at God because God says it. It's always Jesus. Always the shed blood of the cross. It's always living for Christ. It's not just simply believe, but it changes your life. You see, this faith in Christ, it's believing, but it's living it. It's trusting and obey. Believe is the verb form for faith. And faith is total commitment in all areas of our life. Are we perfect? No, sometimes we're like this. It settles back down. unbreakable seal. Listen to this. Verse 14. Who is the guarantee or the earnest money or the down payment, the deposit of our inheritance? Everyone say, I have an inheritance. If you're born again, you have an inheritance. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. We've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. And we are redeemed and we will be redeemed. To the praise of His glory. And being sealed by the Holy Spirit, it's the down payment, it's the deposit, it's the guarantee. The rest is coming later. The rest is coming later. Something better is coming. It's coming. You see, the Holy Spirit of God works in our lives, transforming us into the image of God's dear Son, who is Jesus Christ. He works in our lives, transforming us. He is a taste of the change to come. Romans chapter 8, we groan, waiting to be changed. Nothing about speaking in tongues. We groan. Something's better's coming. And we sense it. We yearn for it. It's coming. That's the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. Please listen to me. We're ignorant about the Holy Spirit. Some say you got to jump over a pew and raising your hand. If you want to do that, do that. Don't mean you have the Holy Spirit more than I do. You hear me? That's here today and gone tomorrow. The latest thing will take people like that away. But those who are faithful and committed and sealed by the Holy Spirit and is living it, they get things like this happens, but they're still here. They're still faithful. Oh, we're so ignorant. Listen to me. That's another whole sermon there, but listen. He transforms us. And if you're here this morning and you don't have the first gumption of what I've just said and read from verses 13 and 14, you need to be liberated. Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. You may be tied up with religion or something, what others may say. You need to be liberated by the Holy Spirit of God. You see, if you don't know what we're saying, not the first inkling. If you say, I know I have placed my faith in Christ, you need to pray. And say, oh God, show me. Open up the Scriptures to me. But again, if you're here and don't know nothing about what I've just said, are you saved? Have you trusted the gospel? Have you asked Jesus to come into your heart and life? Have you repented of your sins? And turned to God and say, oh God, help me. Are you saved? Or have you been glorifying some other type of God besides the God of the Bible? You know in your heart. You know if you've been sealed or not. You know. You know. I'm not asking you to come be a member of Cooper Baptist Church or anything. Matter of fact, I won't save you a bit. But I promise you this, if you are saved, you would want to be a part of the New Testament blood-bought church. You see the difference? If you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, who always exalts Jesus, Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus died for the church. Jesus loved the church and gave his life for the church. So if you say you're saved and not a member of the church, you've been sitting here for years, you're not saved. I ain't gonna lie to you. If that Spirit of God in you is not saying, hey, let's be part of the church and serve Jesus in the church and love Jesus and be a witness for Jesus. If that's not in you, you're not saved. I don't care who you are, you're not saved. You need to turn your life to Christ. Well, preacher, I'm here on Sunday morning on a long weekend. Who do you think you are? Again, if you're not full of the Holy Spirit in your heart, you're not saved. I don't know how else to say it. And that Spirit always exalts Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, help us to tend to eternity at this time. Help us, Lord, to seek you for guidance, because the church is in sad shape in America. The church is in a sad shape. Look at America. Oh God, help us to be the church again. May Jesus be our Lord and Savior and not something else. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.